Monster Man, Episode 136, Thork and Throat Leech. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In this episode, we're going to be looking at two very different interpretations of naturally occurring wildlife from the T chapter of the Fiend Folio, the 1981 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And if I've been saying 1980 in previous episodes, that's because I sometimes get mixed up when I record an episode of Patron Deities, where the book really is from 1980, and an episode of Monster Man, where we're currently doing a book from 1981. Sorry about that. All right, let's start with the Thork, created by Mark Barnes. And the Thork is kind of like, well, it's kind of like a stork, only it's made of metal. And in this respect, it resembles the Stymphalian birds from the Legend of the 12 Tasks of Hercules. Now, the Stymphalian birds had beaks and feathers made of metal, and this was basically the explanation for why they were so sharp and they could pierce through armor and so forth. And the Thork is a little bit different. The Thork is basically a tea kettle that looks like a stork. It has copper scales and it stains in the water, and it sucks up water into its body and then superheats it and emits it as a deadly spray of steam. Some people have suggested that the Thork might be based on metal sculptures of birds, which is speculative, but sure, why not? I don't know that there is a particular explanation for the Thork other than that. In the last episode, I described the Thokwa as a not in Kansas anymore monster, and I think that the Thork is absolutely another example of this type of monster, right? It is not, it's even more weirdly fantastic than the owl bear. If you encounter a Thork, you know you're in some kind of weird Roger Dean universe or weird John Blanche universe, and certainly not the kind of world of the more or less naturalistic kind of Middle Ages fantasy proposed by the sort of mainstream D&D of the mid-1980s. Is very much an Alice in Wonderland kind of monster. Thorks would be uninteresting if it weren't for the fact that they collect, for some reason, platinum pieces. I guess the idea is that they're birds and they like shiny things. Now the bad news is that the Thork steam spray does a good amount of damage. The good news is that it can only do it a limited number of times a day, and of course it's directional. So what you really want to do is bait the Thork, right? Like, present some kind of target to it that it can waste its steam on, and then you can bash it on the head or just get past it and steal all the platinum pieces out of its nest. Beyond that, there isn't really much to it. I would assume that you're not going to be running the kind of game where the player's just going to be wandering around coastal wetlands grinding Thorks for platinum pieces. I mean, they're welcome to, I suppose. But it's just kind of a cool, exotic little detail that can be used to fantasy up a piece of otherwise boring landscape, and for that, I think the Thork is pretty good value. Next up, we have the Throat Leech, designed by Ian Livingston. And when I said Ian Livingston, you probably realized that we were going to be back in weird naturalistic country. The typical Ian Livingston monster, although they're not all the same, but there is this trend of kind of animal-like creatures whose gimmick hinges on a particular piece of animal behavior. And in the case of the Throat Leech, this is, well, it's a little leech, and it lives in water. And so if you fill up your canteens or water skins or what have you in a stream that has a throat leech in it, it might swim into the container. And then when you drink the water, it'll get stuck in your throat. Or when you drink out of the stream, it'll get stuck in your throat. And there it affixes to the back of the throat and drains the blood until you die. So this is kind of a classic humanity versus nature adventure story kind of a concept, and that's fine. But again, I've talked before about these gacha monsters and how ultimately I feel like they reward behavior that I at least don't want at my table. It's like checking for traps every 10 feet. Okay, I get it, but how much time do you have? In the same way, like, oh, you know, making sure that we stop to boil all the water. Like, that's very... If this were a game primarily about, like, simulating wilderness survival, if we were playing Stranded Deep the RPG, then, yeah, there would be a lot to be said for that. Like, we could also roll to see whether you get dysentery. But just me in particular, I tend to feel like I'm in more of a rush than that when I play RPGs, and again, I accept that not everyone feels this way, and certainly that not everyone felt this way in the 80s. So, there's nothing actually wrong with the Throat Leech, but it is a wee bit of a gotcha. The only reason that I am particularly, like, I think the Throat Leech actually really works, is that the method recommended for killing it is to heat up a piece of wire and very carefully stick it down the victim's throat to pierce and burn the leech at the back, which is an image so exquisitely horrible that I'm willing to except this thing where normally I wouldn't be a big fan, because I can't help but envision the look of wide-eyed panic on some poor hapless wizard's face as his fighter and barbarian buddies hold him down, and the ranger goes, throat leeches, eh? And then she, you know, puts a long piece of wire that apparently she keeps for just this purpose in the fire until it's glowing red hot, and then she looks at the wizard and goes, hold still. I can see that, you know, I think that that works. So the thing about survival monsters like the throat leech is, if you're entering like the okay, now we do the wilderness survival part of this campaign, you know, you can't just jog from here to the Dark Lord's fortress, it's hundreds of miles and you gotta make your way through the wilderness, that's why nobody's done it yet. I totally get that. I play a ranger. I like the idea of using my superior outdoorsy skills to gain an advantage on somebody, and I like the idea of accepting that the reason that most people don't just go running around the woods is because it's dangerous. For sure. The problem is just that, like, what it results in is very cautious player behavior. So what you have to do is play fair with this thing, right? You have to find some person that's dead by the water source with no obvious signs of injury on him, and then you kind of go, well, wait, maybe. Or indeed, you find somebody that's dead far from the water source, like you filled up your canteens at that spring, and then, you know, you go a little further, and there's some guy lying dead on the ground, and you go, huh, I wonder what happened to him. And if your next move is then like, well, let's go through his pockets and see if he's got any silver pieces, and, you know, ooh, all that looting's thirsty work, I'm going to take a big swig out of this canteen, then, you know, you get what's coming to you. You won't make that mistake twice. So I think you have to play fair with environmental hazard monsters. Now, I understand that that is not the old school way, and that the old school way is predicated on the idea that players are always in this kind of state of hyper-paranoia about environmental threats. And if that is how the players are going to be approaching the world, then there's nothing wrong with that. That's totally fine. I just happen to think that that's not a terribly exciting way to approach playing Dungeons & Dragons, but that's very much my personal preference. I'm sorry that I keep saying this about environmental hazard monsters, but I don't know what else I have to say about them. I do think that one thing that Ian Livingstone does very effectively is combine these moments of sort of mundane wilderness exploration with genuine horror. That's true of the assassin bug as well, for example. They're not all winners, but I think he has a good number of creatures where the trap is not just a trap, but actually a horrific situation. And one that puts one of the PCs into a position that requires the others to help them, which is also true of someone who's been infected with the larva of the assassin bug, right? Like, it doesn't kill you right away. There's a period in which the others can react. And this goes back to what I said about the Tentamort two episodes ago, which is that I think creatures that work like that are really interesting compared to ones that just bash you on the head and you die. Also, I think this is one of the relatively small number of Ian Livingstone and or Albifiore monsters in this book that don't have a miniature, because it would be pretty small. I also think that the Throat Leech is a really interesting contrast to the Thork, because those are two monsters that do not go well together, right? Either we're plundering steam birds for platinum pieces, or we're checking our canteens to see if they've got very small leeches in them, but not both, right? They don't go well together. Not at the same level. Throat leeches might be the kind of thing that you're worried about encountering at low levels, and then Thorks might be just like in the water features of your palace once you're at 10th level. What do I know? Anyway, that's about it for this episode. I hope you will all join me next time as we talk about the Tigerfly, the Tirafeg, and the Trilloch on Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.